Hey yo, and here we go with episode number 41. We Talk Comics is back on the air and in your ear. And we're going to get to this week's topic on WTC, but first off, I'm going to introduce the co-host with myself, the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. I have the Sovereign of Sarcasm, Brett.
Well, it's great this week because we've rebooted the show without Cub Reporter K.
That's right. And we also have the monarch of movies and beer. That's Chris.
Yo, I'm here. I miss Keith already.
Do you? I don't. I likely never will.
Yeah, it would be nice to have somebody on this podcast that reads as many comics as I do.
Yeah, well, and there is only one person on the planet who does that. That would be Keith. But so I'm Mo, and like I say, we're going to talk about episode number 41. This one will be subtitled A New Hope. So we will get to that a little bit more. But first off, of course, we have to do the news. Now, the news, as all you guys out there probably are aware, is sponsored by our good friends over at Comicosity. We're happy to have them as our sponsor. Comicosity has reviews of all the top comic books, as well as all the news. If you're interested in Marvel now, you can't wait for your weekly news fix. You want to get it daily. Find all the latest on the Marvel now and the big going-ons there. Comicosity is the best site for that, as well as some featured articles and other things like top or 10 tweets Thursday. You know what? The previews, they have basically everything, and it's a great layout run by the classiest man in comics, Aaron Long. You can find him at Juice005 on Twitter, and Comicosity at Comicosity on Twitter as well. Comicosity, don't be a geek. Proudly be a comic book geek, and go to Comicosity. I go there myself on average, about 2,000 times a day. And now the news. Cub Reporter K. Keith?
Oh, oh my God, he's missing. Oh, wait. I think today the news will have to be done by Cub Reporter B.
Cub Reporter. He's not here?
No.
Why didn't somebody tell me?
He's on location in San Diego, so he is.
That's right.
He is
on
sending
assignment.
News reports back, but for now we're going to have to struggle without him.
Well, and it will be a struggle with you doing the news, I'm sure. But yeah, he's on assignment at San Diego SDCC, I believe they call it. The San Diego Comic Con. SDCC. Remember that episode? It was I'm referencing WKRP again. You know I am. I know it's not time for the news, but here we go. I just got to get off on this because I'm just referencing the Thanksgiving episode where it's Les Nessman on assignment. He's sitting there going, it's Les Nessman with the news from WKRP. And there's a plane circling overhead. It has a banner. I think it says, Happy Thanksgiving from WKRP. Happy Thanksgiving from WKRP. Well, isn't that sweet? I love WKRP. Best show ever. I don't care what you guys say.
I like WKRP. I don't have a problem with that.
There's nothing wrong with it.
Best show ever. I don't care what anybody says. All right, Brett, get to the damn news. Quit stalling.
All right. Well, there is news flying fast and furious out of SDCC. So I will hit on some of the events that have come out that I know of. And I'm sure there's going to be tons more that I'm missing, but that's okay because Keith will be around next week to do probably an entire thing of news. First one is Marvel Now and the announced cancellations of 9 series that are in the September and October solicitations. The first one is Captain America, Fantastic Four, FF, Incredible Hulk, Invincible Iron Man, New Mutants, The Mighty Thor, Uncanny X-Men, and X-Men Legacy. Everything shutting down. Now, the one thing that I want to say before I get anybody else's thoughts on this is...
Oh, because I have thoughts.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Is that... As I was reading through the news about it and just the solicitations, virtually every one of them did say, you know, that the storyline was coming to a close. So I do have to give Marvel some credit for at least closing out their storylines prior to relaunching the new titles. Moco.
Well, I would... I think it's appropriate that FF is one of the books that they're canceling. So I think Marvel can go FF themselves. No, seriously, here's the thing. We know it's coming. It's not a reboot. It's a relaunch. But we know it's coming. It's just that I feel like I've been down this road so many times from Marvel. I mean, what volume of Fantastic Four or is this? What volume now? Like, how many number ones will we had over the last 15 years of Fantastic Four? How many number ones of Captain America will we have had? How many number ones? Like, Hulk is being rebooted. I think it's less than 2 years ago. It's on issue 15 that it had a new number one. And it just, I guess they do have to go this direction if they're doing a reboot or a relaunch or whatever the hell they're doing. But it's just like, it's, at some point, I feel like it's the boy that cried wolf from Marvel to me at this point. They have to actually prove that this is a jump on point and that they're going to do this well, because I don't really have a lot of trust for that. That said, I mean, I don't have any ill will. It's just, that's what's getting to me. Now, like I say, it's probably part of the strategy, but it's just, I'll take a little bit of a wait and see, but I'm already starting to get my, let's say, I'm already getting my back up against the wall going. I'm worried. Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to pipe in on the Marvel Now last week because I wasn't here, but I was talking to some people on Twitter, and some people wanted to know.
Last week, by the way, was a great show.
It was. Is it weird that I'm a fan of a show I'm on? I really enjoyed you just listening to you guys last week.
Well, I hope not. One hopes that you like the show.
It's just really weird that even if I wasn't on the show, I would be excited about listening to the show.
People are often more excited when you're not on. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But anyway, with this Marvel Now, I just wanted to... I have some strong feelings about it. In the 90s, we had gimmick covers. In the 2000s, the crossovers ruled. And companies just blow out these marketing gimmicks. Now, it seems in the 10s, it seems to be reboots. They're going to start rebooting until it means nothing.
But it's not a reboot.
It's a relaunch.
It's a relaunch. Number ones. That's the thing.
Tomato,
now,
tomato.
Number ones.
Hardly.
You know what? I have an emotional reaction every time they do it. I don't like it, but at the same time, I'm just in favor of good comic books, and a lot, I think Marvel shuffling their talent is a good idea. I would have preferred if they had done something more original than a half-assed 52, which this seems like they're not rebooting, they're relaunching, and they're only relaunching half their titles.
They're relaunching everything.
They are relaunching everything, but they are canceling a bunch of titles, but those core titles will be coming back, right?
Yes. Yeah, everything is going to come back in its own way. But I don't see how it's half-assed, because they're doing
Before you get off, I just want to say this, because he's saying it's a half-half 52, but wasn't the new 52 a half-assed 52?
Well, and that's right. That's the way I look at it.
That's the way I look at it too. That was a half.
They're not restarting continuity. I don't see
Neither did DC and everything. That's kind of part of the point.
That's kind of why
it pissed me off to some degree. Anyways, Brett wants to just get something in before you maybe go off factually on what you're talking about, so you can react to that. Brett, go ahead.
Well, I just think you're missing the point of what Marvel wants to do. Marvel doesn't want to actually reboot. They don't want to take, you know, Moe's problem of the continuity of what DC did with the continuity and piss away all the old continuity that Moe loves so much, and that a lot of people love so much. They don't want to do a half-assed reboot where it's like, oh, some of the books are rebooting, some of the books are pretty much the same. You know, this is the only thing that they're really doing is shutting down all of the actual titles so that they can restart them at number one, give them all good, what we hope will be good jump on points, and all number ones for every series, from what I understand, over the space of, you know, 2.5, 3 months or whatever it is.
Didn't they just recently do this, though, with the Ultimate line and not do it well?
Perhaps I don't follow the Ultimate line, so I'm not 100% sure on that. And maybe they didn't do it well. And who knows? Maybe they won't do this well. But the overall concept to me looks right, especially given the, you know, the lashing out that the fans gave DC, you know, like you, over what they did with their reboot.
Yeah, okay. Chris, go ahead.
My point, I feel it's half-assed because they're just slapping on number ones every time we have a new jump on point. I don't see the point in that. I like legacy numbering. I like I like having a run of 200 comic books. I think they could have got just as much buzz if they actually figured out how long some of these series have been running and actually get back to the original numbers. I think they could have got just as much buzz and just make a big deal about jump on points. But that said, I'm not going to boycott the line because I think I want to see what Bendis does with the X-Men. I want to see what Hickman's doing. I'm not going to drop any titles because of this. I'm just having a little bit of trouble with, well, this seems like just bowing to market pressure. You know, for the first time in a long time, over the last little bit, Marvel has lost its number one position, and it seems like they're just bowing down to market pressure. I would like them to do something a little bit more original than just slapping number ones on their books.
Although an interesting note, side note to that, is that unofficially for the month of June, Marvel is number one with just over 41% of the market, DC being number two with just over 39% of the market. Marvel had the number one book with Avengers vs. X-Men, I believe it was number six. So
and,
in fact...
Just to my point, Brett, this upcoming reboot of Captain America will be Captain America volume 7, and volumes 2 through 7 happened over the last 15 years.
Oh, absolutely. I don't question the fact that they've rebooted Captain America a ton. And the truth of the matter is that if you look at Fantastic Four, I mean, it's numbered at 611. But the truth is that all they've done, and I believe that eventually we will see this happen with this relaunch, is that they will start it at number one, but it will essentially be Fantastic Four 612. It just may take a year or two to finally return to the legacy numbering. I don't know necessarily why they haven't returned to legacy numbering in the case of Captain America, but Fantastic Four and Iron Man are both on legacy numbering.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and X-Men Legacy is at 271, and there's no way that, like, the legacy part of that title has been there for 271 issues. It's just not the way. So, I expect the numbering to come back in some way, shape, or form at some point, but for now, these are the books that are being canceled before they're brought back.
Chris, any other thoughts there?
My only worry right now is, what's next? They've sort of overdone every marketing campaign comic books have. Are we going to go back to gimmick covers? After new number ones don't get them the sales they want?
Well, who's to say that they won't get them the sales they want? And I mean, I expect, well, especially
no,
with Marvel.
I mean, but after 10 years, I mean, the crossovers gave them the sales for a while, but after Marvel sort of wrecked that little thing in the 90s, the sales didn't hype up for Fear itself and every other crossover that seemed to happen.
In the 2000s, you mean? Yeah, both DC and Marvel. Both DC and Marvel are equally guilty of that particular thing.
Now we're overdoing the number ones. In 5-6 years, when the sales aren't there for that, what's going to be our go-to? When a company needs a boost?
Yeah, gimmick covers will be coming back.
Well, they already have. One of the gimmick covers for, there's lots of different covers for Walking Dead 100. One of them is a Chromium.
Yeah. And I don't actually have any problem with gimmick covers coming back as long as it doesn't flood the marketplace like it used to, and it just was used just to increase sales. If it actually was used to mark something.
Yeah. Again, when you're talking about a number one issue, when you're talking about a 50 or 100 or something like that, but not when you're talking about issue 15 gets one because it's a end of a big story. Issue 17 gets one because they introduce a new character, and issue 21 gets one because they just damn well felt like it.
Yeah, because somebody changed their underwear.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly it. I mean, but it is things in moderation, as you say. I mean, perhaps is what we're looking for. I mean, I like the gimmick covers until the gimmick covers, and I still like the gimmick covers until they gimmick themselves out.
I think they'll do it. Marvel's going to do a lot.
But I do think Chris has a good point, though, in that it feels like they're going to this too often. It's like they felt like they were going to the crossovers too often, or just like they felt like they were having guest appearances by the hot character too often until they burned that out. And it's just the different things to go to. It's like in sports, you see it all the time. Whatever it is that wins the championship, whatever style it is, everybody else copycats until somebody figures out how to beat that, and then they copycat what beat that. And that's what this feels like. It feels like the lack of originality and a copycat system, and the number ones and the reboots and the relaunches is right now the copycat, the hot mode. And I think Chris has a good point there. Chris, go ahead.
I would like more originality in their marketing campaign. I think it could be done. They could have made a big deal about returning to legacy numbers rather than slapping a number one on to sort of placate the people yelling that, you know, Marvel needs a reboot. And I know this isn't a reboot, it's a relaunch, but that's what this is meant to do. It's to shut people up going, you know, Marvel needs to do the same thing DC did, and they don't need to do it. And to do...
I disagree with that. I think they do need to do it to some degree. I've been saying this for a while. It doesn't hurt to clean up the continuity. So you don't need to toss out the major events or have no idea if the major events did or didn't occur, like DC did. You do need to, I mean, and you don't need to say everything's 5 years old. But you do need to clean up the continuity. You do need to make it a tight, universe that people can jump into. I mean, that's not a bad thing. The question is, can you clean up the shit, the good, and get that out of there and tighten the continuity while still keeping the major events and having it make sense in a realistic timeline? Can you do that? That's what we haven't seen yet if somebody can do. But if they can do that, that's not a bad thing here.
What I would have liked to see, because I'll agree with you, actually, Marvel did need to do something about their continuity. But I would have liked to see a crisis type event for Marvel. They've never had one to reset some of their continuity, and at the end of which they'd come out with legacy numbers. That would definitely make it different than what DC's doing, and give startup points. And make a huge deal out of it. Actually, I kind of thought that's what AVX was going to do. It didn't.
Brett, you have a response there. I can see your... Brett, rebuttal time. Go!
Well, so let me get this straight then. You're suggesting that even though they've had way too many crossovers, that they're going to fix everything with a crossover coming out immediately after a crossover?
No. What I'm saying, what I'm trying to say is they'd have to make a huge deal out of it. Huge.
They made a huge deal out of Civil War, for instance, and that did look like, in many ways, I thought, a reboot, a new continuity that people could jump onto without getting rid of the old stuff. Didn't last.
But again,
it didn't last.
The problem, I think the problem that I'm seeing, and you can talk again in a sec, Chris, is this idea that every time Marvel has tried something like this before, it has always only involved a small section of the Marvel Universe. Civil War, for all intents and purposes, really didn't include the X-Men. It included...
Well, they had House of M. They'd had their own thing.
Yes, exactly. And the House of M...
They have a reboot of Avengers, right? When they did Avengers Disassembled.
Yes, but the House of M technically... after that point was all about the X line. And it was at a different time period. The thing about this is that this is, and none of them, per se, included some of the other sections. So this, to me, is one of those where they're saying, look, we're just going to do everything from a number one. So it's actually impacting all the universe.
You're right there. How about the fact, though, that it feels, to some degree, I think this is the issue that, not to speak for you, Chris, but it feels like they've tried similar things many, many times, haven't done it well, and go, oh, we tried that, didn't work. We tried that, didn't work. Tried that, didn't work. Let's just do it all at once and see if we can get it to work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what I'm trying to say is Marvel's never done it with the gusto that DC did with 52, because as much as we may have problems with 52, the new 52, it was a bold move. I would like to see a bold move out of Marvel, not the same thing DC did. Maybe shut down all their titles for an entire month and have an entire month of a crossover without the regular titles at all. Just have a crossover for an entire month. Have a five-issue limited series. Nothing else. They'd take a loss, but I think they'd be stronger coming out of it. Now, I'm not a marketing guy. I don't know. That would mean a financial loss for that first month. But I think coming out, they have to. I just would like them to see them do something original. The Crisis idea was just a suggestion. Just doing slapping number ones on a book, I don't care. It's really a non-issue for me, so.
But I think the key thing about the storylines is that they are all, there's number one actual stories that are starting here. Like, it's not like they're just saying, oh, this is like part three of six. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop the numbering at 19 and start it back up at number one with part four. No, I don't think, like, that's not happening. These storylines are ending. And then they're starting up. But I don't think that all nine of these are starting up again next month.
Oh, they're not starting up at the same time. They're going to be rolled out slowly. More like how DC, I think, rolled out their characters in, what was it, 86 there after Crisis. You know, they rolled out Superman, then they rolled out Batman, then they rolled out Wonder Woman, or something along those lines, right?
Yeah. So I think that, Chris, to what you said about shutting everything down to a certain degree, I think we'll see an element of that, not exactly like you proposed, but to a certain degree that Marvel will only be publishing a few books or definitely less books in those months until everything is rolled back out again.
Which I do prefer more than 52, because like I say, 52 is obviously more than what they could handle. If DC had done 13, and then a month later added 13, and then a month later added 13, they probably could have had higher quality.
Oh, absolutely.
And better continuity than what they did. But that said, I'm going to take you to task for one thing you said, Brett, because Chris talked about a crossover, and you said, so what you're saying is when they have too many crossovers, fix it with a crossover. Well, Brett, you know what? If it's one crossover that happens one time that actually sticks and matters, and it's well done, don't nobody minds. The problem is when it's not well done. But if that crossover kicked ass, then it would be okay.
No, it was, and the only reason that I brought it up was just because Chris had been mentioning the other crossovers, and I just, you know, it just seemed funny, the idea of bringing up a crossover when you seem somewhat against crossovers.
I think you're filibustering.
I'll also say this. I have a little bit of a problem is they're just shuffling talent. I would have liked to see them add some people.
That's true.
Well, who knows? Maybe they will.
Shuffling people around. None of the announced talent. I mean, we don't know everything yet. We hardly know anything yet. But moving Hickman from his two FF books to two Avengers books, okay, I don't add any books to my pull list. I would like to see somebody brand new, and I haven't seen that yet.
Yes, it's the key.
Yet is the key, but if they don't, once again, I have to sort of go, this is sort of half-assed. That was the beauty of the relaunch after Crisis, is they went, okay, let's hire Byrne, who previously was at Marvel, to relaunch Superman. That was a big move.
Yeah, let's get Frank Miller to relaunch, Batman. Let's get George Perez to do On Wonder Woman, which isn't a new person, but it is a new direction. Yeah, I know what you're saying here.
I mean, I'd love to see some more new talent, absolutely, especially some really good talent. And there's some great talent out there. And absolutely, I think the one thing that we're kind of missing here is that in the case of Marvel, I mean, we know months in advance of what's happening. Whereas with DC, we knew weeks in advance of what was happening. And the same thing can be said of DC's talent.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of bore itself out as one of the problems of how they did the relaunch.
But ultimately, in the case of Marvel, we have oodles of time to speculate on what Marvel shouldn't do, how it could go wrong, how it is, how it isn't going to be. Whereas, and we're going to have to wait a long time to actually see if it is going to work or not. So
I absolutely get a sense that within Marvel's, that the key creative individuals have a high level of communication with each other over what's happening and what they're leaving and what they're going to start up. I have that sense that did not happen at DC.
No, absolutely. They've sat down, and I guarantee they've sat down in a big room, and they have talked over ideas and ideas and ideas about everybody's books. So, I mean, to me, hopefully that makes it good.
Hopefully it makes it good.
Fingers crossed. I think that's the only way we can go into this.
Yeah, well, I mean, fingers crossed.
I don't think any of us are going to stop reading Marvel, so...
No, I don't. I don't have a sense that this is going to do to Marvel what it did for me at DC, or stop reading it.
I think a big one of the biggest reasons you stopped reading DC was partially because of the quality, but
it
not
wasn't
really.
Like
it
DC
was mostly,
anymore.
Yeah, it was mostly just because of the fact that they rebooted that some of the character that they lost the history that you wanted.
Yeah, they lost the history I wanted and didn't give me enough quality to keep me back.
Yeah,
if they had lost the history and had the quality, or had the I didn't feel like, I felt like the two things, there was two things I needed, and I didn't get either one of them anymore. So,
and if nothing else, Marvel is keeping the history that you want.
Like I say, the bitterness over the lack of organization, I think, definitely bothered me. Because I just felt like that was disrespectful to the fan base, the core fan base that was there, and also more so to the characters.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I think we're imprinting things from the DC 52 onto Marvel right now.
We're freaking battered wives over here, aren't we?
Yeah, pretty much.
Somebody raises their hand now, we're going to cringe. But
you know what? I'd like to hear what else is happening in the news.
All right.
Hey, what the hell, Brett? Get to the rest of it. Quit
Fair
stalling.
Enough.
I mean, Jesus. Keith would have his news over by now. Well, actually, probably not. He'd probably still be pausing in between two or three stories.
Well, and after last week, where the news took all the show. Anyways,
yeah, exactly. Here's the thing. We have a couple topics because we weren't sure. We're like, well, we have one topic for sure, and we're like, and then we have the news. This show is going to go like 20 minutes. Well, I think we're only going to get to one of those topics now.
I think you're right. All right, so our next piece of news is that Dark Horse is launching a new Star Wars series in January, and it will be done by Brian Wood and Carlos De Anda, with covers by Alex Ross. And this will be called Star Wars, and will be set during the period of the original film trilogy and feature the classic characters. So I think that the nice thing
is
for this
is
that...
Is it going to be canon?
I'm not 100% sure if it's going to be canon. I feel like it is going to be canon. But more importantly, it's not going to be actually including the rest of the continuity that they've created outside of the movies. Like all the comics, all the books and stuff like that. It will be independent of that.
Excellent. I am looking forward to that. When did you say that was launching?
January.
January. Oh, that's a long wait, but I bet you it'll kick ass.
Yeah.
I really look forward to that.
I think it's nice because we get a chance to see the original characters again.
Yeah, and I think Woods will have a good take on that. I have a good, very good strength of that, or feeling for that, I guess is a better way to put it.
A writer Chris? I don't read on a series I don't read? Win-win for me.
Chris, you're supposed to be the positive one. You'll read it. It's a book.
No. I haven't read Star Wars unless you guys make me.
You'll try it. We'll make you.
Oh,
yeah, well, you'll definitely try number one, absolutely. Yeah. But I am surprised that you don't read Brian Wood, but you know, so be it.
Well, you know what? The couple times I've tried Brian Woods, I haven't liked what I've read, like at Marvel. That said, like I said before, I recognize his talent. His style doesn't work for me, but I think Star Wars might be a better fit for his style and the characters
and
my,
I don't like
my tastes.
I don't like his Marvel work either. I mean, I like his creator-owned stuff a lot.
Yeah. But even then, what was the most
four trades of DMZ and just, yeah, this isn't going anywhere.
Really? I love DMZ.
Okay, but what was his most recent work here for Image? I can't recall.
The Massive.
Number one? Yeah, it didn't do anything for me. So again, but like I say, I know he's good. And I'm just waiting for that book that he does that I will enjoy. This may be it. I'm really looking forward to trying that. What else is in the news?
All right. Well, one of the biggest news breaks coming out of Comic-Con, Neil Gaiman is returning to Vertigo to write Sandman for a miniseries starting in November to celebrate the 25th anniversary.
Kick-ass.
This is going to be illustrated by J.H. Williams III, so we know not only should the writing be good, but the art will be amazing. So
yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
That is.
I never read that series, but I know it's awesome.
Really wish I wore Depends for this podcast.
Oh, you just soiled yourself, did you?
Yes, I might need a minute to go change.
You know what?
Very
that's okay.
Excited about that.
That's awesome. What else is up, Brett?
All right. Well, I'm gonna take a really crappy piece of news. The Red She-Hulk takes over Hulk with issue 58.
I like that, actually.
But I liked the Red Hulk series. I was enjoying that, like I said. That was surprised me. That I really enjoyed that. When we read, I think it was issue 50 I read for the podcast, and nobody else read. Chris did, but we decided not to review it. But I was really impressed by it. I was planning to pick up some trade paperbacks, so now you're replacing with something I like with a character I'm not so sure about. I'm not looking forward to that personally.
She was in that issue. I've been reading since then.
I know she was in that issue, but it wasn't her that I liked in that issue. She was, you know, I'm not necessarily looking forward to that. But.
I don't think the Red Hulk's going anywhere, so I think you're safe on that one. I think this is just a shuffle.
I hope so. Still planning to pick up the trade paperbacks over. Who was it that took over? Parker? Was that his name?
Jeff Parker.
Yeah, Jeff Parker. Still planning to pick up the trades from his run on that. That issue impressed me enough.
All right. Another piece of news. Justice League Dark will now feature Timothy Hunter from the Books of Magic. So it's good to see Timothy Hunter returning to the DC Universe. Well, it'll be interesting to see how Jeff Lemire uses the character. And
very interesting.
One of my final pieces of news, which I am excited about, and I'm sure Chris will be as well, Terry Moore has announced a new Strangers in Paradise story.
Oh.
Instead of his usual, though, it is returning to celebrate its 20th anniversary as a prose story. He actually said that he's getting older, and he doesn't actually feel like doing too much art anymore and having constant art deadlines. But one of the things that he can do is keep writing. So he's going to roll out a prose story, and I think that that's probably how we'll see Strangers in Paradise going forward.
And now we know that Chris is going to have to change, because that's twice now.
Oh, yeah. I would actually like to see him even go back and restart in a prose form. Tell the entire story. I mean, I just love Strangers in Paradise way too much.
And after
I actually,
he finishes
in my life have believed that Catch is a real person I'm going to marry her. So really, I may be I may have a problem. So,
yeah, you're still looking for her, and wow, all right.
Yeah, if you can manage that, then let me know, please.
She didn't answer any of my letters.
She never gets back to you, huh?
Yeah, but she is on
to get
Twitter.
A restraining order against a fictional person.
And then after he's done with Rachel Rising, he will be doing an all-ages comic project.
Oh, nice. All right, Brent, I want to get to a couple of your... If you're done with the news, there's a couple news items I actually wanted to hit, too, that I brought to get together, because I know that Keith is not here, apparently. Is that right, guys? He's not here?
Well, he's very quiet if he is, which, you know, is not a bad thing.
Not a bad thing. We wish he was like that a little more often. But a couple things I want to... you guys see the Marvel Point One? Who will shape the future of Marvel now? Image.
Are you talking about the fact that it shows the what looks like the ultimate Nick Fury, or what's behind it?
What's behind it? What's behind it? Really? I mean that is it. This is the question. Somebody said that Cyclops was the character in behind. Joe Quesada, I think somebody quoted or misquoted him saying that. That certainly doesn't look like Cyclops. You see, there is the Ultimate Universe Nick Fury
or
there.
Nick Fury Jr.
Or Nick Fury Jr. Yeah, exactly. And then there is maybe Nick Fury in behind. To me, I looked at that, and the guy I think of is Mr. Sinister. But who knows? But I just want your thoughts on the on that teaser and. Does that get any excitement for you on what they're going to be doing?
I feel like it could. I know it's not the right color, but it could be the Red Skull.
Yeah, it could be the Red Skull.
Because I know they have talked up the Red Skull as being the major villain in the I believe it's Uncanny Avengers. So,
okay, Chris, any thoughts on the teaser from Marvel? A Marvel Shape the Future teaser image. Point one, Marvel now. Point one, because that Marvel point one thing worked so well.
Yes, I really don't have any guesses to the background image. I hope it's the Red Skull. Huge fan.
He's such a nice guy.
Nick Fury, on the other hand, I hope it's the ultimate Nick Fury. I've long said that. We have room in the Marvel Universe for two Nick Furies. In the Ultimate Universe, Nick Fury has jumped universes before. He spent some time with the Squadron Supreme. I think he could move over to the Marvel Universe without too much trouble. That way I don't lose my traditional Nick Fury. I would love to see a Nick Fury war.
Now, that's what I was about to throw. Well, you say you don't want to lose your traditional Nick Fury. Perhaps we will, because, like I say, to me it looks like Mr. Sinister. I mean, I can see the Red Skull there. But what if this is the 616 Nick Fury and the Ultimate Nick Fury, and they both join the same universe, and the Ultimate Nick Fury going forward is going to be the Nick Fury, so this becomes a battle between the two of them, and the Nick Fury we know becomes evil, becomes, I don't know, Parallax or something. But, you know, what if it is a fight between two Nick Furies? The Nick Fury we knew and loved for all these years becomes a bad guy, and the other one is the good guy, and he becomes a major villain. Would you be comfortable with that, Chris?
Marvel handles shades of gray so much better than DC. They have so many characters that walk that thin line. I don't have a problem with it at Marvel. Marvel would never do a Parallax where they fail so completely. And Nick Fury's a character that can go both places. You're never quite sure of his motivations anyway. You can switch it up. He's good, he's bad, he's good, he's bad forever. So I have no problem with that.
How about you, Brett?
No, I don't have a problem with it. They do so much with Nick Fury in random points anyways as to try to make him a gray character. So the idea of tipping him to one side while still bringing in the ultimate Nick Fury, which I think is something they really want to do.
Obviously.
I don't think that's an issue. I would be perfectly happy with that. But again, the most important element to that whole thing is they gotta keep the old Nick Fury somewhere.
Well, the thing about it is, I just feel like, I guess it's because I like my Nick Fury. And no question, he could be a bad guy without any issue from his personality. Yeah. But I would hope, you know, so could the Ultimate One. And I would prefer it the other way around. If Nick Fury that I know and love is the good one, the other guy was a bad guy. But that kind of seems to go against everything that they're marketing-wise that makes sense for them. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I am, you know, we'll see what goes forward from it. The other thing I want to bring up in the news here, Brett, is I think this is interesting because we reviewed He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
I was going to bring that one up, too, at the very end, yeah.
So we review number one, where everybody says it's good or very good. People are going to be reading it. It's James Robinson. We're impressed that they brought on such a high-quality, well-known, hot writer. And, in issue two, it's not going to be him anymore. Brett, go from there.
Keith Giffen is taking over He-Man and the Masters of the Universe with issue two. And
a 5-issue miniseries?
Six, I believe. Well, six. James Robinson had six, so as to whether Keith Giffen will be continuing on with Robinson's story, or why Robinson is gone, who the hell knows? Basically,
it just seems odd.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about it. Other than the fact that Giffen is taking it over. And, I mean, Robinson got one issue. And I don't know. I mean, Giffen's a great fill-in guy. And he's done amazing stories. But I've actually read some really bad stuff from him. So I feel like a series that I really like the potential of could shoot itself way too fast.
Well, yeah. It's just like, wow, you finally gave a He-Man that was good. Like I said, I didn't find it quite good enough to continue with it, but I thought it was good. And everybody else, the other two guys, Chris, you weren't here for that one, were you? Yeah, the other two guys really liked it. It's like, finally, after all these years, you've done something that many people didn't think you could do, gave a He-Man that people want to read, and now you got a creative change in issue two. It's just strange and a little worrisome.
Yeah, absolutely it is.
All right, anything else in the news, Brett?
Nope. And that's the news.
All right, that was probably the best news we've ever had on the show. But now that we're done that, let's move on to our next bit. This topic, we were trying to toss around topics and what we were going to do. This one was suggested by Chris, and it kind of just stuck to the wall. So why don't you introduce it, Chris?
All right. We all have characters that we return to again and again. But we've never read a good issue, or we've never been able to sustain interest. Yet, as soon as the memory of those bad comic books fade, we seem to return. And we don't know why. If you don't like a character, why are you coming back, yet you gravitate towards them? Mo, what's yours?
You want me to go with mine to open?
Yeah.
I got a couple. I think
open
we both all have a... I think we all got a few. Do I want to go with my big one, or do I want to go with the one that... I'll go with the big one. That's what she said. But anyways.
So she didn't go with you?
No, she didn't. No, not at all. Well, not unless you're talking about the belly. But anyways. So as a kid, when I'm like 11, 12, 13, the first book I ever decided, that's it, I'm going to collect, was Blue Devil. But, I'm 11, 12, 13. I love Blue Devil. But really what became my favorite book was Power Man and Iron Fist. But my favorite character was The Amazing Spider-Man, or Amazing Spider-Man, or whatever. And his two books, The Amazing Spider-Man, Spectacular Spider-Man, I'd also pick up Marvel Tales for reprints and Marvel Team-Up. Spider-Man was my favorite character. And I wouldn't say I've never read, obviously, a good book from him. But he is the character who I haven't read anything I've enjoyed in 20 years from him, essentially. And I have been 20 years, every few years, I go back to him. And the last time I was really interested was in the early 90s when Venom was kind of making his original run. And then they introduced the parents of Peter Parker coming back. And then it led into Maximum Carnage and then the clone saga. And then Dan Jurgens took over and wrote the clone stuff. And I was had high hopes and it didn't work out. You know, got different people there. Straczynski, so many people talked about. So many times over the last 20 years, I can't tell you how many times I've gone back to Spider-Man wanting to love him like I once did and being disappointed. And Spider-Man is, for me, the guy I feel like I'm never going to get a Spider-Man book that I consistently want ever again. So, thoughts on that, gentlemen?
I completely understand where you're coming from. I mean, to a certain degree, I love Spider-Man, and I love a lot of the books that have come out, especially that came out when I was first originally reading them. I don't necessarily know how well I'll react to them. I think the main reason that I couldn't put him as a character in that regard right now is simply the fact that there is so many books of Spider-Man that I do love. And granted, the newer ones, I just don't like it, but there's a lot that I love.
So how many books over the last 20 years, though, have you read and you think, I can tell you there was one storyline that I read for the last 20 years, and it was an Untold Tales of Spider-Man, which is a short-lived series, kind of like a Legends of the Dark Knight type series that they did, where there's a backup story written by DeMatteis, no surprise because he's a genius, talking, and it showed the love that Spider-Man had for Gwen Stacy and how that love actually strengthened his marriage with Mary Jane Watson. That's the only book I could think that I have read in the last 20 years of Spider-Man. I thought, that was awesome. That's the Spider-Man I love. Everything else, I just keep on going, man, I wish it was. I want so badly to love him. But I can't. This just isn't doing it.
Well, I think part of your problem here is you have very, very little tolerance for a bad comic book. And since there are so many... There are so many Spider-Man titles out there, the quality is not always there. And as soon as you encounter a little bit of resistance, a story arc you don't particularly love, you drop all the Spider-Mans. I personally loved Spider-Island last year. I thought that was the best crossover they'd done in a long time. Dan Slott's run on Spider-Man has meandered a little bit. But there's quality books out there. You just have to read a bad comic book in order to get a good comic book once
in a while. But that's the thing. I see, and I'm not willing to do that. Because I can go back and read Spectacular Spider-Man, you know, issues 175 to 200 about with the Black Cat and Peter Parker, Spider-Man, you know, love. I guess you almost could call it a triangle. The way that was presented, and still enjoy that. Think this was excellent, and this gets the character, and this is what I love about him. And if I can't get that, then why should I go and read the new stuff? I mean, I don't think that you should sit. It's like sitting there saying your sports team. You know, you need to expect them to lose for a few years, so they can get good enough players to be winners. No, I want them to always be winners. I know it's unreasonable, but that's what I want.
I just think, you know, given the fact that. That, you know, Spider-Man has had great stories, then he doesn't necessarily warrant inclusion on the list quite as much as some would.
That's true, but I'll tell you this. I mean, for me, he did, because for me, like I say, 20 years is a long time when you're giving it this many tries. And I do need to try Spider-Island. Maybe I'll pick up a trade of that, give that a shot or something, but... when you tried this many times and you can't find what you want, and especially since, like I say, I can still read the other stuff and think that's good, it's like, this is a character who shouldn't be hard to get. So why does he seem so hard to get now?
Yeah, but Chris is totally right. You know, there is so much Spider-Man out there that it can be, you do have to wade through some crap to actually see to find the gold.
All right, well, I apparently have done this wrong then, though I have another one. But Brett, why don't you do it right?
All right. Well, for me, I'm going to start off with Alpha Flight.
That's a good one, actually. That's a good one.
I want to love Alpha Flight. I especially want to love Alpha Flight because they're Canadian. And I want to love Alpha Flight because they've got some cool characters. And I want to love Alpha Flight because John Byrne did it for a while. And you know what? I can even go back to the John Byrne issues. And I've reread them, and I've thought to myself, I just don't actually like the characters together very much. And more so, any time that Alpha Flight comes out, I read Alpha Flight. And every time Alpha Flight comes out, I think, wow, this sucks. I hate this. They're pissing me off. why do they have to be Canadian? And so, because I just don't want most of these books associated with Canada in any way, shape, or form. So that's my first one, Alpha Flight.
That's a good one.
Wow. Yeah, it is. Because individually, I mean, Shaman has always fascinated me. Puck has to be one of the most original characters I have ever read. I love Puck. But you're right. Together, they have no interaction.
Yeah, Sasquatch is great when he appears in the X-Books or Hulk or wherever.
And I've always wanted to know his relationship with the Wendigo a little bit more. And I mean...
And Vindicator is one of the great names in comic book history.
Yeah, totally.
And the great costumes.
And
you know what? It consistently sucks. You're right. I've tried it so many times for the exact same reasons as you, because we are all Canadian.
Yeah. It's like... And the connection to Weapon X.
Here's the thing. It's like, it's Alpha Flight. We have our own team. And then you're like, it's Alpha Flight. We have our own team. You know?
Yeah, I mean, we might as well have the Great Lakes Avengers.
Yeah.
And I can honestly say I've enjoyed more Great Lakes Avengers books than I have Alpha Flight.
All right, well, that's a good one.
The constant relaunch doesn't help either.
No, it doesn't.
You mean Alpha Flight will get a new number one?
Well, eventually. They're always trying.
And that's the other thing about it, and this will get to some of another one of my characters, but Lord, I just tell you, it's not like they don't try and put good people on it. They usually do. You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Scott Lobdell did a run. John,
awful.
There are so many people.
Yeah,
and
they're not
people
good.
They put on it. It doesn't work. It's unbelievable. Some characters just are never meant to work. Chris, what do you got there?
Okay, this one. I actually collected a title that this character appeared in for 5 consecutive years.
That's you. And you were just wading through the crap, hoping for a good one.
No. It'll all come, when I reveal the character, it'll all become self-explanatory. And part of the reason I collected it was I was at your guys' store at the time I collected it, and it was a pain in the ass to get. So I enjoyed torturing you guys. And the character is Judge Dredd.
Oh.
On paper, this character should be right up my alley. He's an unsympathetic anti-hero, but every time I read an issue, I end up thinking, well, why isn't this guy the villain? He's vile. I have never read a good story arc. I collected 2000 AD for the other stories for 5 years, so I've read a lot of Judge Dredd. I've just never liked it. And I want to like it. He looks cool. He kills people. He's mean. He says cool stuff. He always wears that helmet. And yet, I can't bring myself just to read a Judge Dredd story. And he's written by quality people. I mean, John Wagner is one of my favorites. Garth Ennis, one of my favorites. Pat Mills, one of my favorites. And I don't have a single good run of Judge Dredd that I have enjoyed in all time. He has 2 movies, and, I mean, they tried to dumb down for the first movie. They've tried to dumb him down with Schwarzenegger. They got other actors I like in that movie, and, once again, not a good film. And I don't know, being on this side of the ocean, is it possible to like Judge Dredd?
He has 2 movies?
Oh, sorry, it's coming out soon.
Yeah, the second one.
The trailer was just released.
Okay. I didn't know that. I'm the one person who kind of liked that first movie.
but it wasn't it. Judge Dredd, and I mean, it's fairly obvious.
Yeah, it wasn't really Judge Dredd. You're right.
He got the helmet. He doesn't ever
That pissed a lot of people off. That's like revealing the Joker's real name. That's a poor decision. You know, or I can't think of a good Judge Dredd. my introduction to Judge Dredd, I mean, first off, I'd like to say I hate you for making us order all those books for you when you weren't enjoying them just to torture us.
I enjoyed the other stories.
Oh, I still hate you.
2009 AD was a great, I mean, it was a great anthology. I just didn't like the main story in it.
But, you know, my introduction to the characters are generally through the crossovers, like with Batman and stuff like that. And I kept on going, isn't this character supposed to be cool? Isn't this supposed to be good? And you're right, it wasn't. So, but I never read 2000 AD. Actually, I might have tried one. I think I flipped through a few when we were ordering them for you and tried reading them. And, didn't do it.
Also, any DC Judge Dredds, not real Judge Dredd. They were soft.
I mean, honestly, I can't say that I've read enough Judge Dredd to even form an opinion. And maybe by that token, you're absolutely right. Because if I haven't found my way to actually getting out there to read these Judge Dredds, then yeah, you're probably right.
Hey, I got one here. This sort of counts, but maybe not. I'll probably do this wrong again. Wolverine.
I was gonna come up with Wolverine. I mean, absolutely. You know, he's not my second one, but he was definitely one of those ones where I was just like, yeah, Wolverine could be in there.
But Wolverine, because I have read so many Wolverine stories and tried Wolverine so many times, and the character's never grew for me, and he's so popular, and I've read him in so many books with so many different writers, and it's just never done it for me. And then, actually, after he had a series for almost 100 issues, I finally got back and read the miniseries, the Miller and Claremont miniseries, and that's awesome. But at this point, I'd already given up on the character. And then knowing that it was possible to have a great story, every other time I read it, I went, wow, that sucks compared to it. So Wolverine's a character for me that I've given a lot of tries to, and just I can't think of anything other than that original four-issue miniseries, which eventually became his on-running miniseries. I can't think of any other Wolverine stories that I've ever really grooved to.
I think for myself, there is some solid Wolverine books. But that being said, I don't like the Wolverine character. I totally think that he's overrated, and I really wish he wasn't the focal point of the X universe in any way, shape, or form. Because to me, he just, other than being able to have a backstory that you can add to ad infinitum, he's just really, he's like the Punisher to me. And it's just like, yeah. I just don't care that much.
Yeah.
I can read good. There are a couple of good stories for me, but absolutely, Wolverine is just a character that anytime I go back into the book, I'm usually like, no, I just don't care. I just don't. The character just doesn't do it for me.
And he's Canadian, so that also
and he's
hurts.
Canadian. Yep. But
yeah. We know that doesn't work in comics.
I've read some excellent Wolverine. I don't ever plan on collecting Wolverine on a regular basis. I actually find he's a welcome addition to, say, a book like The Avengers. I actually have always thought of Wolverine as my plane book. When I have to take a flight or something, and, you know, you're in an airport, you got a limited amount of time, you're in the bookshop, you just want something to read quick, I always gravitate to Wolverine. True. They're not all gold, but they're not. I find a lot of writers get him right, and I don't have a huge problem with him. I don't think I like him enough to ever collect the book on a regular basis. But once again, I find that his low points aren't as low as, say, a Spider-Man.
See, here's the thing about it. I think it's just that I don't groove to the character, like I say. I mean, for one thing, I think the more that you add to his backstory, the less mysterious he is, the more less interesting he is. But another thing I think is, really what bugs me is he's just way too powerful for what he should be. And I think that's always bugged me, and I always think that since he's always written as so much more powerful than he should be, that I think the intrigue and the danger he's in just never exists to the level I want to. He just doesn't really do it for me. But, I mean, again, that's mine. Brett, why don't you give me your next one?
All right, well, for my next one, I'm not going with a character. I'm actually going with a creator. Because I just keep thinking of this guy's work, and I keep thinking of how much people around me like it, and I keep thinking of how much I feel I should like it. And it's Howard Chaykin. Every time I try to read Howard Chaykin, I wind up despising his characters and wanting to throw the books away. I think back to the Black Hawk three-issue miniseries, the prestige format one. I think back to his Bravura one, Power and Glory, and I have on my bookshelf, I have Howard Chaykin, because I keep thinking everybody else likes him. Maybe this is the one that I'm going to like, and I reread them, and then they annoy me, and it never works. So it's Howard Chaykin.
You know what, Brent? I think you're onto something there. I definitely understand. Like, I love his art. And his art
absolutely
is awesome.
His art is great, no question.
But when he writes and does the characters, I also find them really just kind of sleazy and misogynistic and unlikable. Really understand where you're coming from on that level. Chris?
I actually like him for exactly those reasons. I purposely like the fact that he doesn't do too much. I can handle a series a year. But I do know what you're talking about. He is sleazy. His characters are hard to warm to. I like that he's different than a lot of other writers out there. And a four-issue series a year, I love. I wouldn't want to go beyond that.
Chris, give us your next.
Oh, let's, okay. Hawkman. I want to like Hawkman. I hate him. I don't get his origin. I don't think anyone gets his origin, quite frankly. His relationship with Hawk Woman is weird. But I keep buying issues. Every time they relaunch him, I'm like, ooh, Hawkman! And I don't get why he's still in the DC Universe. You should have a smaller place in the DC Universe. Maybe more along the lines of Shazam, that, you know, they bring him out every once in a while, but it's for event. Hawkman always seems to be a mainstay on at least two major teams, and it doesn't... I don't get why. I want to like him, but I don't.
Yeah, I disagree with that one. I understand where you're coming from, but I just do. Just because I have read a couple series. I love Hawkworld.
Hawkworld, yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's my
yeah, but
automatic
that's not
answer.
Even Hawkman.
But yeah. Hawkman is... The core reason for it existing.
Yeah, it's Hawkman. The other one I like is the
Hawkman that they introduce in the series, though. In any of the series.
Well, his continuity needed a lot of cleaning up over the years, that's for sure. And I think the fact that World's Finest, back when World's Finest was a dollar, you know, like 1980, it was like a dollar book with 80 pages, and you used to get an anthology series, and you would have the World's Finest Batman and Superman characters, and then you'd have ongoing characters, smaller characters with backup stories. That's where I was introduced to and fell in love with a lot of the more obscure DC characters, like Captain Marvel, Shazam, like Red Tornado, and Hawkman was among those, and that his wife, Hawk Girl, Hawk Woman, had left him, and he was lonely and depressed, and I felt for the character. So I bonded with him immediately, and I really liked the early mid-90s William Messner Loeb's run. I thought it was really well done, really interesting, kind of a Native American take on the character, and I enjoyed that quite a bit. I'll agree, there's a lot of them I've read that aren't good, but I have a couple things that really I groove to.
I think my problem with it is the Hawkman's motivation seems to change in every issue he's in. He kills. He doesn't kill. He's the leader of the JSA. He's not the leader of the JSA. He's the wild card. There's never been a consistency to the character.
I would like
to see him written out until such time as he has a place in the DC universe. He doesn't have a place. I want to like him. I can't.
I won't disagree with that, but do you know how many a list of characters that I could say the exact same things for that you wouldn't have that issue with? It's massive. It's almost every character in DC and Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, we could carry this on for forever and ever virtually with a lot of characters. I mean, I know where you're coming from. I think there's elements of any of his origins that are kind of cool. I think his look is pretty cool. I think Hawkworld was great.
Hawkman's a great name.
And some of his series have been really good, and some of them haven't been so good. So, I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, I could bring up the Outsiders, too.
I have always felt that the reason I gravitate towards him is he looks cool, but that's all he has.
No, I mean, I dig where you're coming from. You know, Mo and I just aren't in the same...
I think we both dig where you're coming from. We just don't necessarily agree with it. I'm going to give another one, though, that I've never read a book that I like from her with this character, and so it's Wonder Woman. And I've tried so many times, and I feel like I should write. I liked her in teen books, or I liked her, for instance, in the Trinity book. But on her own, as a solo character, there's never, ever, and I've tried so many times, and I'll throw out the animated, I think the DC Animated Universe movie that they made was really, really well done. But as far as a comic book, I cannot think of a solo Wonder Woman storyline that I've ever liked. And you've had writers like Rucka on there and other really talented, and, you know, Byrne and just all these different people, really talented guys. I've never been able to get behind that character. I've never read a storyline where she has to carry the book, and I've enjoyed it. So Wonder Woman for me is probably the number one choice just on that, based on the parameters of actually doing this right. There's never been a Wonder Woman where I went, that was great. There's Wonder Woman where I went, that was passable, and I know it was maybe good, but I just can't get into it because of the character.
No, I can see that. I've never truly collected Wonder Woman.
I have several runs. I enjoy her, but I can honestly say I've never jumped on a book because of Wonder Woman. Wolverine, yes. No, I like her. I don't love her. But I don't think I like her enough to include her on this list.
I can also see that, you know, where it's just a character that you know, because the rest of it kind of comes down to that, you know, I really want to like him. I don't really want to like Wonder Woman.
Well, no. But I do, and it probably stems from the fact, once again, that I was such a DC guy, and she is a legacy character, one of the three biggest legacy characters. She is Trinity. She's put up there with Batman and Superman. She's important to the history of comic books. So I feel like this is a character I wanted to like so many times.
I totally agree, though, that her books should be better.
There's some good runs, but once again, just like Spider-Man, you have to wade through quite a lot of crap.
And I tried. I have tried. Got another one, Brad?
Nope. That's pretty much done for me.
How about you, Chris?
I'm done as well.
All right, I think that's an awesome topic, though. Thank you, Chris, for bringing that up. Let's get to some Wii views, Brett, because we are...
Here I come to save the day.
Saving you from bad comics.
That's right. It's the Wii Talk Comics, Wii Views, our version of reviewing books. Brett, you're going to open this one up, then.
All right. Well, I might as well start out with probably one of the bigger ones from the week. Our next Valiant book, Bloodshot number 1. And again, it's the Summer of Valiant, and so we have a return to the Bloodshot character, and in this case, there's a couple of things. Now the character itself, I was actually kind of concerned about right off the bat, because I thought that it seemed like where they were going was pretty poor. And then the second half of the book just basically became all action, and went to a place where I think 8 or 9 million books have gone before. The truth of the matter is that it was kind of well done for a book that's been done 8 or 9 million times. I hated the art that was in the flashback section, in the family flashback, I thought it was awful. But the art that was in the action sequences was, I thought, was pretty good. Overall, it's probably my favorite of the new Valiants. That's not saying much. I didn't hate it, but I don't think I'll be back.
Chris, what do you think?
You know what? Brett nailed it. I've read this before. I've read this before multiple times. And I didn't love the character. He has a cool look. I thought, actually, the 90s run was much more interesting with his relationship to Rey in the Future Force. Just sort of making him a military clone actually makes him less interesting. And adding this Manchurian candidate element really didn't help me at all. Once again, if this is the summer of Valiant, this summer sucks.
You know, I think you guys are being a little harsh on this book, honestly, because I don't know that after coming out of this one that you 100% know where they're going, that you 100% know what it is, that there isn't going to be some more. There's twists and turns during the course of this storyline. There might be more twists and turns, like you're saying there, that he's a military guy or this and that. I don't know that you know 100% what's going on. I was intrigued by this. I did find the art extremely inconsistent. Panel to panel, there's times it looked cartoonish and times it looked serious. And I found it inconsistent. And, you know, I can understand what you guys are saying. But I just really liked the... I thought the characterizations, the dialogue, the pacing, even the storyline, while it's not original, I thought it was well done and good take. I really enjoyed this. I'll be back for number two and probably number three. Am I sticking with it forever? I can't say that, but, you know, I enjoyed it. Let's get to another book I enjoyed as well. And this is Space Punisher. And really, this is a book where the storyline and the dialogue really don't match the art, quality-wise. Because the art is unbelievable. Simply unbelievable. But it's quite simplistic. But here's the thing. It's like an Elseworlds-type storyline. So you can take it's Punisher in Space, Elseworlds-type storyline. So you can take some ridiculous concepts, and you can dig some well-known characters. You can screw with them. You can kill them off. You can do whatever. And you can just have fun. This is a summer blockbuster action movie-type comic book. I enjoyed it. It's not great, but I really think it'll play well in the four-issue miniseries or in a trade paperback form, and I hope you guys will let us go back and review the entire series when it comes out. Art is spectacular. Chris?
Well, I hate to disagree with you, but I hated this book. I read this book, and I was really, really glad.
Mark Teixeira.
Teixeira. I love his work in the past. I thought for the Punisher, he was completely unsuited. There are no backgrounds whatsoever in this book. There are some there's some very, very beautiful shots. I equate this to Steven Seagal movie. He even has the freaking ponytail. Other than a couple cool cameos by supervillains, I felt nothing for this book. I went in thinking this was going to be a fun romp, and it wasn't a fun romp. It was ugly, and I ended up not caring about anything. I really didn't enjoy it.
Wow, so we got one person saying it was a fun romp and one person saying it wasn't. Brett, tiebreak this thing. It's good to not have four people on the show. That screws it up. Actually, it's always you three against me, so it doesn't. But
well, we are definitely going to tiebreak this bad boy. You know, I started reading this book, and I thought, and I totally agree with you, Chris. I started reading the book, and I looked at the art, and I'm like, man, this doesn't strike me as what I was hoping for. And I was reading the story, and I was just like, this is not what I'm expecting at all. Dude, I don't actually know if I can finish this book. And then I got about halfway through the book, and I completely changed my mind.
Really?
I said, wait a minute. I totally get this book now. I get exactly what it's trying to do. And I said, this is really good. And then there's a one-page, well, like a full-page spread of Space Punisher doling out some vengeance. And I thought, now that is beautiful. And then I thought, wait, sure, the writing's not that great. You get to the whole, like, the six-handed, six-fingered hand, and you see who it is. I was completely sold, and I thought, dude, this is just kick-ass fun. So, right. There you go, Mo. Tie broken, your side.
Wow. Excellent. That's a first. Brett, do the next book. It's killing Chris. It's just killing him.
I don't know how you can like this. I mean, this was the worst book for the week for me.
Well, I'm going to talk about what I really looked at as the worst book of the week. So I'll just kind of give a little bit away. The Space 1999 Aftershock and All, Part 1. Oh, God. Now, this thing, I know that they were taking elements of original issues from the Space 1999 run, and I've never really been a huge fan of Space 1999, and I started off reading this because, again, I was kind of thinking that it was a relaunch, and I have enjoyed Gray Morrow's art a lot, and I read probably about 5-10 pages of this, and I was just like, wait a minute, I don't want to read this at all. It's too long, it's too boring, and I don't care. And then I looked at, and I have a giant problem when people, it always happens, when people are trying to draw actual people, like Martin Landau, and there's moments where it looks spot on, and there's moments where he looks like crap. And it happens almost all the time they're trying to do it. Whereas, you know, somebody drawing Peter Parker, you know, it doesn't matter to me because he's Peter Parker. He can look different almost any issue, and it's fine because he's not a real person. But Martin Landau is a real person. You know, any of these people are. And so the art just is really inconsistent, and I wonder if Gray Morrow was doing it like super fast, or I wonder if it's new inks that have gone over top of it. But the art's bad, and I didn't care. Horrible.
He might have been doing it super fast, Brett, because he thought he had signed on for 22 pages and instead was having to do, I think, 82. Holy crap. Chris, what do you think?
I have to agree with Brett. Once again, I do have a problem with the real people being drawn. But my major criticism was this could have been filmed on film for television or something on a relatively small budget. They had none of the fun aliens they had in the TV series. They had none of the Jerry Anderson joy in the comic book. This was just sort of a space adventure, and I didn't feel it related to anything. It didn't make any sense to me that this was a campy television show. This was a serious, grim look at, and I didn't gravitate towards it. It was just ugly. I didn't enjoy it.
Now, I do think the art has some really unique looks and some stuff that's really good on there. But, I mean, I was grateful for this book personally because, I was so glad we picked this and I was reading it because it's being like 34 degrees Celsius here, which is like 94 degrees Fahrenheit here in Calgary. And in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, we're not used to that. This has really been really sweating. It's been hard to sleep. And let me tell you, this thing put me right out. Oh, I got something in. Now, tonight, when I can't sleep, just pull out 1999 and read panels 2 through 6. That should take it about another 45 minutes. There's so many words. And, I'll be right out again. Honestly, this was boring, and I couldn't get through the whole thing. All right, what are we doing? We're talking about, what's it called? Chu, Secret Agent Poyo. Is that the name of the book?
Yes, that is the title. I am so glad I finally got you to read it, Chu.
That was great. Thank you, Chris. That was fun. look, this is not a serious book by any means. There is nothing deep here. There is nothing, you don't need to read this, except for the fact that if you just want to let loose some steam, laugh, and feel good about yourself when something's over, you want something that's 15 minutes to cheer up your day, this book is great for that. This was a funny little book. I really enjoyed this unique, hilarious, and absolutely insane little story. Chris?
They had me at Cyborg Chicken.
Yeah. Rooster.
Rooster. Yes, Rooster. No, I love the Chew series. I've talked about it several times, so I won't go into it. This is just another quality spin-off, another look at the Chewy universe, and they're focusing on one of my favorite characters, a rooster that may or may not be the devil incarnate.
That rooster is, as a matter of fact, badass.
Oh, yes, badass. He's the Danny Trejo of roosters. He is badass.
He is badass. Brett?
Well, I dig Chew. And Chris, I do appreciate you pointing it out because I love the series. And yeah, Secret Agent Poyo is right along that line. I can't say anything else other than, bar none, my favorite book of the week. Loved it, loved it, loved it. And I actually asked Keith, because I know that they have a Secret Agent Poyo San Diego variant, limited variant. And so I said, Keith, that's pretty much the top of my list. You find me Secret Agent Poyo and get it signed by Layman and Guillory. That's nice. What I want.
Nice. All right, Brett, we got any other books to review?
Well, I didn't read it, but I understand that you two read Avenging Spider-Man number 9 with the first appearance of the new Captain Marvel. And I think somebody had something to say about it.
Yeah, I think two people actually did. Maybe three if Keith was here, but, you know, he's a slacker. Like you say, first appearance of Captain
Marvel.
He's
out looking for my Secret Agent Poyo number 1. And for that, he can't be a slacker.
Good point.
He's Chris, a slacker if he doesn't get it for me.
Why don't you go ahead? I'm really curious as to what you're going to say here.
Okay. First appearance of the new Captain Marvel. This was supposed to be a big deal. And, I mean, this is Avenging Spider-Man number 9. And I open it up, and the first page seems to be an apology. That the first appearance is actually next week. Why do we have this, which amounts to a nothing issue, introducing this character without any backstory or anything like that? And I don't get why they wouldn't delay this issue or do this issue in Avenging Spider-Man number 10. Let's introduce the character into the Marvel Universe before we have her doing guest starring roles. As far as the issue goes, I actually enjoyed the individuals, the story, but it didn't relate to anything. It's a good one-off, but why would we introduce Captain Marvel here? Rather than waiting to her official debut, let's learn why she's becoming Captain Marvel. Let's have a story there rather than just throwing her in a team-up book. I don't get it.
Didn't you feel like there was a lot of backstory to her that existed that we weren't getting?
Yeah, but once again, they're doing that in the next week. Why are they doing? Why does this issue even exist?
What book is that in next week?
I believe it's in Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel.
Because the backstory I'm talking about is a history and backstory with Spider-Man. Feels like there's a lot of history and backstory with Spider-Man that we weren't getting.
That was all in Avengers. Because they're teammates.
I mean, let's be honest, this is Carol Danvers. It's not a new character.
No, it's not a new character. No, that's true. See, and I couldn't... Terry Dodson does the art. I really like his art. I find his style very similar to Amanda Connor. I'm a big fan of both of their work. Okay? I'll just get that out there. This book is, again, to me, I mean, I just hated it. And I know it got a 9 out of 10 from Aaron on Comicosity and his review of it. And Chris has some complaints, but enjoyed the actual book. But I can't stand this. I cannot stand these cute books that nothing seems like it really is happening because it's so obvious that the writer is saying, I'm writing a comic book for you. See, we're writing a comic book. The characters are reading comic books. And this is a comic book, and it's all tongue-in-cheek, and it's all... Nothing has any weight. Nothing matters. The dialogue is so self-aware. The characters are so self-aware. The storyline is so self-aware. I hated this, just like I hated Matt Fraction's Defenders. I'm reading this, thinking this reminds me so much of that self-aware style the Fraction displayed in Defenders that I hated. And then I look it up, and it's written by Kelly Sue DeConnick, Matt Fraction's wife.
I actually like Matt Fraction. I didn't like his Defenders. I thought that was one of the worst books. Of this year, that it was in our first issue this year, episode this year. But I thought this was perfectly acceptable. It wasn't a great story, but it was a good one-off.
Like I say, Chris, it's so self-aware that it is annoying. It is trying so hard to say, "Hey guys, we're doing comic books. We're not telling stories." And that bugs me. Everything about it. I just could not stand this. But, you know, to each his own. To each his own. It's not what I look for in comic books. It's not even that it's bad. It's just that not what I want. I want comic book characters who in an outstanding, unrealistic situation, behave completely realistic and stories that are weighted to mean something. And this certainly is not that. Or something like Poyo, which is just so out there that it doesn't matter. This falls somewhere in between, and I don't like it at all. All right. Any last thoughts on the week here, Brett?
No, not as far as that goes. I think we've got a
shout-outs time.
Alrighty. Well, Brett, B-R-E-T-T, _ WeTalk on Twitter. Brett at WeTalkPodcast.com. I write some reviews for Comicosity. And in fact, I'm even going to throw Keith out there. That's Cub Reporter K on Twitter. And Keith at WeTalkPodcast.com, as he's in at Comic-Con right now, enjoying his first appearance at Comic-Con. So I'm sure that we'll have tons and tons of stories.
Oh, God, next week is going to be just so unbearable.
And, of course, I won't...
Stories of San Diego.
I won't be around for that, so really, in essence, I'm sure
it will
be Brett,
please don't leave me alone with him and Chris.
A four-hour podcast just of Keith's stories.
Yay.
Chris, go ahead.
I'm Chris at WeTalkPodcast.com. Chris _... We talk on Twitter. I'm hoping to have a new blog up for We Talk Movies real quick. And this time I'm doing the long-awaited Volume 2 of The Many Sins of Albert Pyun.
Nice!
Yes, Dark Angel, Nemesis.
Oh, brilliant!
War.
I can't wait.
A movie with so low a budget that, I don't know if there's ever been a lower budget. But
I can't wait for you to take on the Nemesis movies. That's the ones I'm waiting
for. This is Nemesis 4.
Well,
Dark Angel, Nemesis 4. A movie so bad, they didn't release it as Nemesis 4.
When you're worried that the movie is so bad, it's going to ruin the legacy of the Nemesis movie series. You know you're in for something.
They released a different video on as Dark Angel.
Oh, man. Awesome. The Many Sins of Albert Pyun. All right. I'm Mo. M-O at We Talk Podcast, or Mo _ We Talk on Twitter. M-O, no E on my name. Send me an email if you want to, you want to do some blogging, you want to do some podcasting, you have any interests or anything like that out there. We'll see if we can hook you up. And I want to give a shout out to a couple of things. We're going to be talking to Longbox Graveyard. Is probably recording his new show today, tomorrow, something like that. So that's going to be up on Tuesday, because that'll be the third Tuesday of the month. That is always when his show will go up. And I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be, he's also having some adventures to the San Diego Comic Con and hanging out with Keith. And I know they're probably having a great time together and doing the panel on Malibu Comics. And so we're going to hear a little bit about that. And I think that is going to be an awesome, awesome show. Of course, his first one was awesome. So I have no doubt it will be. And Mojo is likely going to be taping as well. Oh, we're thinking even this Monday, because Oxymoron has a Kickstarter campaign going. There's Oxymoron hardcover, a graphic novel, and some really, really cool stuff there from Comics Tribe. Some of the stuff they're giving away and the art, the things you're seeing is amazing. But those guys, we'll be talking more about them on Mojo, and they absolutely are great. They're getting some publicity. They're going to easily meet their goal. There's no question they're going to easily meet their goal. And deservedly so, and absolutely you should support them. But there's somebody else out there who I want to see meet his goal, and that's Joe Martino, and he's doing a book called The Mighty Titan. He's done some projects in the past, but I'm going to put up the link in the write-up here to Mighty Titan so everybody can check that out on Kickstarter, because this is really looking to me like a tremendous, tremendous book. And I can't wait to see it, so I really want to see him get to it. So really, people, if you have a few dollars to throw towards both of those guys, absolutely do it. I think, you know what? What else can you do in this world? If you're reading comic books and you're buying them at the comic book stores, what is better than supporting the creators directly and seeing great new comics? Chris needs his shit, after all. Chris needs his shit. So other than that, I think we're OUT.